Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
All right, this morning we are continuing into week two of our Shattered series, and you are in for a real treat because I'm not preaching today. Why don't you give it up for Yuri Radinsky, the only man who gets as hyped as I do. Let's give it up for this dude.
Thank you, Pastor Tyson. Let's pray. Jesus, Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful, awesome Sunday that you've given us, this beautiful weather. Lord, we thank you so much for everyone that's gathered here today. Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and just pour your Holy Spirit in this place today so that we can know more about you, get closer to you, and so that we just be more like you, Jesus. Amen. How you guys doing? So this morning, I unfortunately do not have a Mother's Day sermon for you all. We are in week two of our series titled Shattered, but I do want to take a quick second just to give a shout out to all the mothers that are here. We thank you and we appreciate all of you. Yeah, give it up for the mothers, for real. I myself would not be standing here in front of you if it were not for my own mother who is here today, here to support me, so give it up. Just so we appreciate all the mothers, and we thank you so much for all of you here today. So I also wanted to thank Dylan for his testimony today. Give it up for Dylan one more time for a really powerful testimony. Thank you so much, Dylan, for talking about how God can restore us from even the lowest point, and sometimes God needs to break us down before he can bring us up. So this morning, as we're in our second week of Shattered, last week Tyson gave us a wonderful sermon about how God breaks us up down and raises us up. So what I want to do today is we're going to talk about a story where Jesus comes through, but it didn't seem like it. At first, it seemed like they could abandon all hope, but in the end, Jesus came through. I can venture to say that someone here, or most of you here, can be waiting for Jesus to do a work in your life. Some of you are here and you are just waiting for Jesus Christ to move in your life. Some of you are here and some of you here are broken. Some of you here may have not been to church in years, but something brought you here today. And what I want to talk about today is that Jesus will come through always. So what I want us to do is turn to John chapter 11, and we'll start reading the verse there. So John chapter 11, verse 1. This is a very popular story. I just want to break this down today and talk about it a little bit today. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your friend, your dear friend, is very sick." Well, that's all I want to read right there. So we'll take it back. I just want to give a quick background. So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. So what Jesus would do is he'd go on these huge ministry tours and he'd go around and he'd preach the word and multitudes would come to him and he would heal the sick and drive out demons, and he was doing these ministry tours. And Jesus every now and then needed some R&R, a little bit of rest and relaxation. So what he would do is he'd go to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and he would hang out with them. They were friends of his. So just imagine, picture it. Like, we think of Jesus just teaching and being powerful and just driving out people and driving out demons and doing all these wonderful, great things and just walking on water. But oftentimes, he would go to their home and he would just stay there a couple nights and hang out with them. There's stories where we read where Martha's running around hustling, bustling, and making him some food, right? Jesus had to eat. And Mary would sit at his feet and just listen to him speak, right? And Lazarus was like Jesus's boy, right? Like, how some of y'all have friends, just imagine them going into the room, reclining, and talking about everything, talking about life. He was Jesus's friends, and Jesus was his friend. And that's the type of relationship that they had. That's the type of relationship that they got to experience with Jesus. So that's how they knew Jesus. So Mary and Martha knew very well who Jesus was. So in their life, Lazarus gets sick. So what's the natural reaction? What do they do? So what happens is Mary and Martha, they know that Jesus drove out the sick or healed the sick and drove out the demons. They know that he could, they had heard the stories where he fed multitudes of people. They had heard of his power. He told them and he was preaching and saying, I'm the resurrection, I'm the Messiah. And they sat there and said, yes, we believe. They drunk it all in. So when the time came, Lazarus gets sick. So Mary and Martha are like, oh man, Lazarus is getting real sick. And then they're like, oh yeah, we have Jesus. We know Jesus. So what are we going to do? They send a messenger. They send a messenger to go tell Jesus that he is sick. So understand, they know Jesus has power. They know who he is. So in our lives, right, sometimes when things go wrong, a lot of us, what we do is we hit the floor and we say, Jesus, help me. Right? And that was their mentality. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus does all this. He's going to do the same thing for us. Let's do it. They send the messenger. I can imagine, right? Mary and Martha are like, okay, we sent the messenger. He's going to do a healing and they're ready for him. He's going to rush over. Jesus is going to come and he's going to do this great miracle and he's going to move in our lives. And that's what we prayed for. And it's going to come to fruition. That's what's going to happen. I'm sure they believed that with all their hearts and they came with faith and they prayed and they sent the messenger and they said, Jesus is going to come through for us. So as we read further, but when Jesus heard about it, this is verse 4, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Okay, so that's the reaction, right? Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. Yeah, Jesus, you got us. You're working with us. You're going to heal Lazarus. That's what he proclaims it, right? So he's going to do it, right? And then verse 5. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. So put yourself and Mary and Martha's shoes. They know Jesus. They get hyped. They pray. They call him to come. So imagine the messenger is returning. And think about it. At this time, we know in the text that Jesus could do long distance healings, right? Sometimes he just spoke it and they were healed like he did with this centurion, right? Sometimes he spoke, sometimes he touched people's eyes, right? He could do all these things. So the messenger comes back and imagine Mary and Martha at the door. They come meet this messenger. What did Jesus say? Is he coming? Is he going to do the long distance miracle? What's Jesus? What did he say? Is he going to heal Lazarus? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to do it. He decided to stay where he was for 2 more days. Imagine that. Lazarus is on death's door. Mary and Martha call to him, and Jesus, yes, it was for his glory. It says for the glory of the Son and the Father who will be glorified through him. But imagine you're Mary and Martha. You call out to God, and he doesn't come through. He doesn't come. You ask him, and he stays for 2 days. He doesn't come. I guarantee you that's what their conversations were. Mary and Martha are like, wait a second, what? He decided to stay for 2 days. Like, does he not care? Where is he? We cried out to him, and he's not there. And that's truth in our life. But here's what I want you guys to understand. Some of you guys have prayed for years. For years you guys have prayed and Jesus has not come through. You've been praying for years, right? He waited 2 days for them. Sometimes in your life, he's going to wait 2 years. Sometimes he's going to wait 20 years. It's not about your timing. It is not about your timing. Some of you guys, I have the fortune of getting to have wonderful relationships with all of you. And some of you are waiting for relationships. Some of you are waiting for business opportunities. Some of you are waiting for jobs. Some of you are waiting. Some of you are struggling with deep things in your life, with drugs, with cigarettes, with alcoholism. A lot of you are struggling with these things, and you've come to Him time and time again with these addictions, and it seems like He is deaf. It seems like He's not coming through. And that's what I want you guys to understand here, that it's not about your timing, right? God is infinitely more wise than you or I could ever be, right? And we know how the story ends. We know how it ends. Yes, Lazarus gets raised from the dead. Spoiler alert, right? But Lazarus gets raised from the dead. And what he did was greater than what they asked. Do you guys understand? What he did in the end was greater than what they asked. But it was not about their timing. It was not about their timing. And that's what I want you guys to understand. If you guys are waiting for something, if you guys are struggling with something, then God is ready to do more, infinitely more than what you asked. So He waits for 2 days. So this is verse 7. Finally, He said to His disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But His disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, I love this, "there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then He said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go wake him." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So He told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I am glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let us go see him." And then Thomas, verse 16, nicknamed the twin, says to his fellow disciples, "Let us go too and die with Jesus." Okay, so we'll break this down real quick. I won't spend too much time on this because we need to get back to Mary and Martha, but here's what's happening. So Jesus, a couple days ago, they had tried to kill him in Judea. They had tried to kill him. They had tried to stone him, and he escaped. And so he waits 2 days, and then he tells his disciples, "We're going to go back there." And they're like, "Wait a second." And they ask him respectfully. They say, "Rabbi, teacher, they just tried to stone you a couple days ago. Why do you want to go back there?" So understand, they had a contract on Jesus' life. Understand, like, they had a hit on him, right? Mafia movies, right? They had a hit on Jesus. And so he had left, and so he goes to his disciples, "Yeah, I know they're trying to kill me, but we need to go back there." And his disciples are like, "Jesus, what are you talking about? They tried to kill you. Like, we're not trying to go there, you know?" So they were like, "No, Jesus, we don't want to go there." And Jesus, I love this, he says the most encouraging thing ever right here. He says, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? During the day, people can walk safely." Right? So think about this. Like, you're the disciples and you're like, "Jesus, we can't go there. We're going to get killed." Right? And then, seriously, that's how the disciples were. You get hysterical. You might die. Like, if we were in the position, like, we would like to think like, "Yes, Jesus, we'll walk with you." No, like, we're going to die. Like, that's not happening. And then the disciples were people like you and me. And Jesus says, "There are 12 hours in the day." So I can just imagine, like, Peter just looking at, like, Bartholomew and be like, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? Like, what does that even mean? Like, how is that? We're going to die. Are there not 12 hours in a day?" Like, is that encouraging at all to the disciples? Like, what are you even talking about, Jesus? Of course there are 12 hours in a day. Like, philosophical. Like, I love it, though. It's like what I like to call a Jesusism. And so what he's saying here, yeah, you can call me on that, Jesusism. But what I want you guys to understand, what he's saying here, they're like, "We're about to be killed." And what he's saying, he had told them already. He has said, "I am the what of the world? The light." Thank you, Pastor Tyson. Woo, he's paying attention. You are the light of the world, right? Or Jesus said, I am the light of the world, right? And so what he's saying here, when he's saying, are there not 12 hours in a day? I'm the light. If you walk with me, then you are what? You are in the light, right? And light drives out darkness. So even if we go where they might kill us, even if we go where they might murder us, if you walk with me, there is safety because I am the light. And that's what he's saying. And that's a truth for us too, right? One, it's not about his timing. Two, this is a great three-point sermon. Two, right? If we walk with Jesus in the light, then there is safety. And that's what he's telling his disciples. And I love Thomas. We know Thomas later on, if you know your Bible, he needs more proof to believe, right? He doubts. He's known as Doubting Thomas. Great legacy. Thomas was awesome. He later becomes martyred for the word, so I'm being too hard on Thomas. But, right, Thomas, he does respond well, right? He looks at his disciples and is like, okay, I'm not 100% sure what he's talking about, right? I don't fully get it, but this is Jesus, and we've given up everything already to follow him, so let's go. And if we die, we die, because we're with Jesus. It doesn't matter. We're in the light. We can walk with him, because walking in the light, there is safety. Right? So even if you don't understand like the disciples, you can walk with Jesus. You can trust him even if there is the potential for death. And that's what the disciples did because they walked in the light. Verse 17. Yeah, y'all can clap for that. Amen. 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 We can walk in the light. Verse 17. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. So set the scene. Jesus is arriving at the gates of the city. Mary and Martha hear about this, and Martha goes out to meet him at the gate. And so if you can set the scene, Lazarus died, right? He was sick. They've seen Jesus heal the sick. He waited 2 days, and now Jesus is finally here. Okay, he's coming. So Jesus walks to the gate, and Mary, Martha, goes out to meet him at the gate. And so this is what happens. She comes out to meet him. And as she comes up to him, I don't even know if she gave a chance for Jesus to say anything. Like, I don't know if she was like, gee, you know. But by the text, it says this. When Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Here's what's happening here, right? Translation of what she's saying to Jesus, the first words out of her mouth is essentially saying, why didn't you come? Where were you? Why didn't you come through? In that phrase, if you had not been here, there, she's not just like, oh, it'd been cool if you had been here, right? She's, the phrase is she's acting in boldness, and what the meaning of that is she is saying, why didn't you come? Right? And the weight of those words, she pours out her soul and she is saying, you should have came. You should have been there. We called out to you and you didn't come through. You healed multitudes. And when we needed you most, you were not there. The application of that is do not be afraid to pray bold prayers. Right? She's not. I promise you guys, I promise you, God can handle it. Jesus can handle it. If you say, where were you, Jesus? I'm upset. I'm hurting. I'm broken. This doesn't make sense. I guarantee you, he can handle it. I promise you, he can handle it. He's a big boy, right? Jesus can handle it, right? Do not be afraid to fall on your face and pour out every part of you, pour out everything that is hurting you, whether it's the smallest thing to the biggest thing in your life. And that's what Martha did. And she looks at him and says, you weren't there. Why weren't you there? And I love this because Jesus is not like, woman, have faith. Like, that's not how he responds, right? I mean, like a lot of times, right? But that's the thing. That's how we feel like in church. In church, a lot of the times, we put on a good outward appearance, right? We're going through things and we come to church and we say, oh, I have faith. Oh, everything is good because I have Jesus. And that may be true, yes, but oftentimes we are hurting and we won't admit it. We won't say that this is hard. This sucks. This life is hard. Jesus knows. He knows it's hard and he wants you to come to him and say it. He wants you to boldly say it like Martha did, and he won't rebuke you saying, my child, you should have known better. Like, that's not how Jesus operates, right? So we'll read further, and she does have some inkling of faith here, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And then Jesus says this. Jesus told her, verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha goes, verse 24, Martha says, yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Here's what's happening. So he tells her, he says, your brother will rise again. We know the story. They don't know the story. Martha and Mary, they don't know the story. In their life, Lazarus right now is dead. Like, we sometimes read the Bible and we're like, oh yeah, totally, like, he's going to raise from the dead. No problem, right? So in her mind, then Jesus says, he will rise again. What Martha is saying here, Jesus taught in their home and many times. What Martha is saying here, she's saying, yeah, okay, Jesus, I've heard that sermon before. So what that means is oftentimes when we struggle with things, when we are going through broken times in our lives, we hear a lot of cliche phrases. Now, a lot of the times, I'm not knocking them, like, but a lot of times, like, you're struggling through things, it's like, everything happens for a reason, right? God has a plan. Now, like, these things are true, but that's not what you want to hear in that moment, right? Like, you're struggling through things and someone comes, oh, just bless the Lord because he has a higher purpose. And that's true. Don't get me wrong. He does. He really does. But that's not what we want to hear in that moment because we are hurting. And that's what Martha is saying. She's saying, Jesus, remember, I was sitting right there when you preached that. They will rise in the end of the day. She's like, Jesus, I've heard that before. Thanks. It doesn't help my situation right now. That is the weight of what Martha is saying there. I've heard this before. And I love this. And this, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that Jesus looked Martha in the eye. And she looked right back at him. And he said, firmly, but lovingly, and he says this, right? Martha's like, I've heard this before. And Jesus looks at her, and she says, and he says, verse 25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? The weight of that phrase is what he's saying. He's saying, Martha, you've heard this sermon before. You've heard this, but don't ask in this moment what I'm going to do for you. Martha, do you believe in spite of everything that happens to you? Because I am the resurrection. It's not about what happens in your life. It's not about your circumstances in life. It's not about what he said or she said or what he did or your situation in life. It's about who Jesus Christ is. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, Martha, do you believe regardless of that fact? Do you believe, even if I don't do anything here, you know that I'm the resurrection, right? Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us, and if he never did anything again, he would be deserving of praise. And that is what he is saying to Martha right now. Even if things aren't peachy keen in your life, do you believe in me? Because I am Jesus. Amen? That is the real application. He didn't come for 2 days. He waited and he did all these things, right? And we'll read it in a couple verses so that they might believe, right? And in up there in the first couple verses, it says, Jesus loved Mary and Martha. So everything that he does, everything that he does in this story that we read today is because he loves you. It's because he loved Mary and Martha, because he loved Lazarus. And that's what he's saying to Martha. Do you believe in me? Not what I will do for you, not the prosperity that you might get, but do you believe in me because of who I am? Will you walk with me? Will you be in me regardless of that? And Martha, I love this because she does answer well. She says, yes, Lord, Verse 27, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Right? She says, yes, yes, I do believe in this. I do believe that you are the Messiah. And she believes, right? She didn't understand. She didn't get it. She was broken. She was distraught. She was real in front of Jesus. But in the end, yes, I'm going to believe in Jesus anyway. Even if he doesn't do what I ask, because his ways are not our ways. So we're winding this thing down a little bit. Verse 28. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and he wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. So what happens is, I love Mary. What she's doing here is she doesn't care what anybody thinks in this moment, right? Right, she's mourning and there's all these people and she gets up and she runs to Jesus, which culturally you don't do that. You don't come up to a man like that. But she doesn't care and she comes and she just falls down at his feet and says the same thing that Martha said. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. She is broken too. She is hurting too. And she says the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger, I love this translation, says anger welled up within him. And he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. So some translations don't translate it as anger, but it's very interesting that Jesus, Mary falls at his feet and he just gets angry. Most Bible scholars believe that Jesus' anger in this moment is for the whole world. The fact that we live in a broken world. His anger is not from what Mary or Martha said. His anger is from the fact that the world is broken and full of sin and it did not have to be that way. And that anger wells up in for him and he is angry and he is sad for the state of this world. And so as we read, we'll skip down a little bit. Verse 38, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. I love this because here's the thing, right? I preached this sermon and I'm telling you guys, oh, believe in the resurrection and stuff. Martha literally like four verses was like, yes, I believe. And then Jesus is like, roll the stone. And Martha's very practical. She's such a practical woman. And she goes, but the smell, oh, Jesus was like, believe in me. And she's like, wait a second. So she still has doubts. She still has reservations. So what I want you guys to understand, that's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we believe in Jesus and we believe in his resurrection and we go towards him. And then sometimes we take a couple steps back. It happens. It happens. Don't beat yourself up if you fall sometimes, if you stumble, because he is still faithful. And again, he does not rebuke her. He said, he looks at her and says, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside and Lazarus, we won't read the verses, walked out and was resurrected, right? So Martha and Mary, because they believed in the resurrection, not believed in that Jesus would do such great miracles, they believed in who he was for the glory and so that they might believe he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? Amen. And as I call the band back to help me close, I want to read one last thing. I want to read one thing to close this thing out. I want you guys to understand how much Mary and Martha, for that matter, understood what Jesus was telling them, right? So if we skip a little bit forward, we're going to open John chapter 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus. the man he had raised from the dead. Verse 2. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with them. This is real powerful, this next verse. So set the scene. This is a couple weeks from the death of Jesus. This is a couple weeks, a couple days before Jesus would die and then rise again. And he goes, and he goes to their home again. And Martha's preparing food, and Lazarus is sitting there eating there, and they're there. And understand, just a couple weeks ago, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and this whole thing we talked about happened, right? And so this is what happened. Verse 3. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. What's happening here is that Mary buys this perfume. This likely would have been in her entire savings. She buys this fragrance, which would have been mixed with roots from India. She has this jar, which was probably made from alabaster, right? It would have been likely her entire savings would have gone into this jar of perfume, right? And she comes to Jesus, and she defies every single cultural norm that there was, and she lets her hair down. Right, and she takes this expensive perfume, right? She takes the perfume, and without caring what anybody thought, what anyone would think of her, what anyone would say, right? Because sometimes in our lives, we get afraid. Oh, they might look at me differently. Oh, they might say something. Oh, if I come to Jesus, what will my friends think? And she comes in with her hair down, and she falls at the feet of Jesus. She falls at his feet, and she breaks this jar. Understand, this would have been her entire life savings. What she's saying is, I don't care about my earthly possessions. I don't care about my earthly standing. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is Jesus and who he is, right? Jesus said, do you believe? Here she is proving that yes, she does believe, and she breaks it, right? So that you couldn't restore it. You couldn't sell it. All of her is just poured out, and she pours it on Jesus' feet, and she wipes it with her hair in an act of sacrifice, in an act of love, right? That's what she's saying in this moment. What you said, Jesus, I got it. I get it. It's not about me anymore. It's not about what I can get in this life. It's not about my accomplishments. It's not about my business. It's not about all these relationships. It's not about what I want in my life. Here's what happens. Here's what happens in our American culture and across churches across the world right now. We've gotten very comfortable, right? What happens in our lives is that at one point in our lives, we raised our hand or we prayed a prayer, right? We prayed a prayer, and yes, that may have been real, but we get comfortable and we get complacent. What happens is we live slightly moral lives. Yeah, this is real teaching. If you come here, we don't sugarcoat the Bible, right? What happens is we live slightly better moral lives, and then we hope that our lives work out. Oh, we come to Jesus, and now it's Jesus' job to make our lives work out, right? We want to get in the best schools. We want our kids to have the best opportunities, right? We want to have the best relationships. We want to get the best degrees, and when it doesn't work out, we get upset, and we get angry at God. That's what happens. It happened in my life, right? It happened, right? Something didn't go right in my life, and I got angry, and I turned to God, and I didn't acknowledge him for a year or more. I didn't acknowledge him because I was angry, because my life didn't work out. But what Mary did in this moment was she said, I don't care. Even if nothing works out in my life, if you are who you say you are, then it's worth it to give every part of your life to him, right? It's not about Jesus making your life work out. It's about you knowing who he is. And right now, as we're going through this Shattered series, as we're talking about how God restores, y'all might be going through stuff I can't even imagine. But Jesus can handle it. But you have to come to him as Mary did and pour out your very soul and your entire life to him. The last thing I wanted to say was that when Mary left with this act of sacrifice this did, and this love that she poured out for Jesus because she loved him, right? She left smelling exactly like Jesus did, right? As she poured out and wiped him with her hair and with a perfume. She left smelling like Jesus, which means she left with every part of him on her, right? And when we give sacrificially, when we come to him with every part of us, we leave smelling and looking, and we're like Jesus. We are like him. Amen. Everybody give him praise for that. If you come to him sacrificially, if you pour out your entire life to him, you are left looking like him. And if that's not the greatest thing you've ever heard, you ought to reevaluate, because that is awesome. That is awesome. So this morning, what I want to tell you guys is that these altars are open. And if you are going through something, if your life isn't where you want it to be, come to Jesus. It's not easy. It's not fun. Sometimes, you know, we're worried because we want our life to work out. Jesus is what is it. He's everything, and he can restore you from your brokenness. These altars are open. Let's stand to our feet and worship. Amen.